Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Questions by the Sages, Text 16. Ko va bhagavatas tasya punya shlokedya karmanaha shudhi kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaha kova bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shuri kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaha kova bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shuri kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaham kova bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shuri kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaham. Kova bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shuri kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaham. Bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shuri kamo na shrinuyat shuri kali malapaham. Bhagavatas tasya yasha kali malapaham. Kova bhagavatas tasya yasha kena kama shunya Vaishnavis. Kova bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shrinuyat yasha kali malapaham kova bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shuri kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaham kova bhagavatas tasya punya shloke dya karmanaha shuri kamo na shrinuyat yasha kali malapaham kaha, who, va, rather, bhagavataha, of the Lord, tasya, his, punya, virtuous, shloka idya, worshipable by prayers, karmanaha, deeds, shudikamaha, desiring deliverance from all sins, na, not, shrinuyat, does hear, yashaha, glories, kali, of the age of quarrel, malaapaham, the agent for sanctification. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? Purport. The age of Kali is the most condemned age due to its quarrelsome features. Kali Yuga is so saturated with vicious habits that there is a great fight at the slightest misunderstanding. Those who are engaged in the pure devotional service of the Lord, who are without any desire for self-aggrandizement, and who are freed from the effects of fruitive actions and dry philosophical speculations, are capable of getting out of the estrangements of this complicated age. The leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. On the contrary, such leaders are opposed to the propagation of the glories of the Lord. In other words, foolish leaders want to completely deny the existence of the Lord. In the name of secular state, such leaders are enacting various plans every year, but by the insurmountable intricacies of the material nature of the Lord, all these plans for progress are being constantly frustrated. They have no eyes to see that their attempts at peace and friendship are failing. But here is the hint to get over the hurdle. If we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding of the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him for His virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again, who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the question of peace. You know, he's pointing out people, including politicians, are talking so much about peace, but they don't know the actual peace formula. And this is something that Srila Prabhupada very much stressed. The actual peace formula, which is given in text 529 of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam yajketva shantim richchati. So shantim means peace. People want peace, shantim. And to richchati means to attain. So although they're talking about peace, they're desiring peace, they're never actually reaching peace or attaining it. And Srila Prabhupada said many, many times, if people actually want peace individually and collectively, then they have to understand the three things mentioned in that peace formula verse of the Bhagavad Gita. First of all, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam. Krishna is the enjoyer, the ultimate enjoyer of all sacrifice and austerity. We see that people are performing so many sacrifices. They're sacrificing their time, they're sacrificing their energy, they're sacrificing their money for different purposes. Basically, different selfish purposes, because they're thinking that they are the enjoyers. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Under illusion, the conditioned soul thinks, I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer. So each one is thinking in that way. So naturally, there's no peace. Everybody is trying to satisfy themselves in competition with each other. Of course, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'd rather listen to him than me. But as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, people are being educated in the name of the secular state in atheistic ideas and materialistic ideas about, you know, the nature of the self. You know, following in the footsteps of Charles Darwin, they're thinking, yes, we are just machines made of matter in competition with each other for survival. So, if that's your mentality, you know, how can there be any real peace? You know, the English evolutionary scientist Richard Dawkins said, defining what we are, we are survival machines, robot vehicles, blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. So if that's what you are, if you're just a machine made of matter in competition with all other machines made of matter for survival, then how can you expect any peace in the world? Everyone is putting their own selfish interests first. Like they say, America first. But then in the other countries, they're thinking Russia first, China first, Germany first, France first. and then they expect there'll be peace. So part of the peace formula is to understand that it's Krishna first. And if everybody recognizes that, then there's some chance for actual peace. You know, many times Srila Prabhupada gave the example, if you have a pond of water and you throw a stone in the pond in one place and a stone in the pond in the other place, the ripples will intersect with each other. But if everyone throws their stone in the same place, then the ripples expand nicely from the central point and they don't interfere with each other. Or there are so many other examples Srila Prabhupada would give. But the main point is that if people understand Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, that the person to whom, for whom we should be dedicating all our sacrifice and all our austerities in order to achieve some goal, that person is Krishna, and we're all related to that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aham bija pradapitaha, Krishna says. I'm the seed-giving father of all living entities. So that's part of the peace formula. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Then the second part is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. We should understand that we're not living in an accidental universe that just happened by some chance, by some big bang, and it's just there for us to exploit however we want. That's not the actual fact. Ishyavasyamidam Sarvam. This whole universe, the whole creation, not just this universe, but all the universes, because according to the Vedic cosmology, there are many of them, they're all the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishivasyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita magrida kasyasvidanam. So, it's all Krishna's property, and you're entitled to your share, your legitimate share, but not at the expense of others. You know, Krishna is providing for everyone, giving them their proper share, and if everybody sticks to their proper share as allotted to them by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the proprietor of everything, then there can be some actual peace. But not if people are fighting with each other, trying to accumulate more than their fair share. Then there's no peace. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote Gandhi. You know, there's enough in this world for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. So if people are under the influence of kama, krodha, matsarya, mada, and so on, lust, anger, and greed, then, and they're not respecting the fact that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, then of course, there's going to be conflict among individuals, conflict among classes, conflict among nations, conflict even among religions. So that is the second part of the peace formula, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And then, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the ultimate friend of everyone, the dearest and closest friend. So we should try to make friends with Krishna. You know, we want some nice friend. Everybody wants a nice friend. They're thinking, oh, if I could be friends with the president of the company, or I could be friends with this very wealthy person, or if I could be friends with this very influential person, then so many benefits would flow in my way. But Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, there are so many Ishvaras or controllers in the world, but among them, Krishna is the supreme controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna. So, everybody's looking for their friend and ally, and they choose different friends, and they separate into different parties, and you know, some are choosing this politician for their friend, you know, and they think they're going to get some benefit from it. And then somebody else is choosing some other politician for their friend. And then the groups fight with each other. Or nations, they're the same way. But if we understand that our real friend is Krishna, and everyone recognized that, and everyone tried to make friends with Krishna, then there would be actual peace. So this is the actual peace formula. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshram suradam sarvabhutanam yajgetva shantim richtati. Someone who knows that will attain actual peace. And Srila Prabhupada wanted this message spread. In the beginning days of the Hare Krishna movement, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York City, you know, when Srila Prabhupada was setting up his first center at 26 Second Avenue, it was a time when there was a lot of war in the world. There was the war in Vietnam, and there were peace marches, and people were crying out for peace. So the devotees published a pamphlet, Peace Formula, you know, an essay, you know, Srila Prabhupada made about this peace formula of the Bhagavad Gita. So there was one man, a Mr. Bogart, who was an employee of the United Nations. Srila Prabhupada had somehow or other met him, and they had become friendly, and he was helping out Srila Prabhupada, you know, incorporating the society and being an advisor and things like that. So he contacted Srila Prabhupada and he said, there's going to be a big peace vigil at the United Nations headquarters in New York City, and we'd like you and your followers to come. So Srila Prabhupada got the devotees together. It was 6:30 in the morning. I mean, normally they'd be having their class and artik and chanting at that time, but he said, no, we're going to the United Nations. So the devotees were very excited about it. And, you know, they got on public transportation and went to the UN headquarters, and Srila Prabhupada went with a few devotees in a taxi. And so they all arrived early in the morning at the peace vigil at the United Nations, and they had brought musical instruments. They had some kartals, they had a tambourine. They didn't have mridangas at that time, but they had a bongo drum that Srila Prabhupada would play in the park, Tompkins Square Park, when he would go out for kirtan. So they brought that too. So they all sat down and they started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the organizer said, no, this is a silent vigil. So Srila Prabhupada just said, okay, just chant japa. And, you know, there were different people speaking there, and they called Srila Prabhupada to speak. And he spoke in a brief way about the peace formula of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, he spoke that. And the devotees were supposed to be there for 2 hours, you know, according to their invitation. So Srila Prabhupada had the devotees stay there for 2 hours chanting the Hare Krishna mantra on their japa beads. And then afterwards, as the devotees were going back, you know, Srila Prabhupada was in the taxi with some devotees, and he said, actually, we're not so much interested in these peace vigils. We're just interested that people chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And if they do that, then automatically they'll become peaceful and they won't have to make some artificial attempt to become peaceful. So, you know, he said like that. But the devotees kept printing this brochure, you know, the peace formula, and they would distribute it at peace rallies. In 1968 or 69, you know, John Lennon and Yoko Ono were in Montreal, and they were doing these peace demonstrations. They would sit in their hotel room in their bed and talk about peace and saying, all we are saying is give peace a chance. So the devotees in Montreal went to their hotel room with mridangas and kartals, and they were there, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, and they liked it. John wasn't always the best friend of the Hare Krishna movement, but at times, he had Srila Prabhupada stay in his house and had the devotees chanting Hare Krishna at their hotel room in Montreal when they were doing that. There's an article in an old Back to Godhead magazine about that. But this... But for there to be real peace, there has to be a change of consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada many times gave the example, you know, you take 15 or 20 dogs, put them in a room, throw in some food, and see what happens. Is there going to be peace? No, because their mentality is a doggish mentality. So he said, you know, the same thing with people. Because they have the wrong mentality, there can never be peace among them, no matter how they try. So the real thing is to change their consciousness. The consciousness has to be purified. And that is the purpose of the Sankirtan movement. What did Lord Chaitanya say? Chaito Darpana Marjanam. The purpose of the Sankirtan movement is to cleanse the consciousness of the living entities. And what is the proper consciousness of the living entity? Is it, I'm a machine made of matter in competition with each other, with all others for survival? Or is it Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas? the constitutional position of all living entities is that they are eternal servants of Krishna. I am a being of pure consciousness. You're a being of pure consciousness. We're all related in terms of our being an emanation of the supreme conscious being, Krishna. If we understand that, there can be actual peace. So that is the peace formula, and it's being here the sages in the Naimisharanya forest, they're realizing that if people want peace in the age of Kali, the way to get it is by the glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is virtuous in itself. These glories themselves are virtuous. And there's another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says more or less the same thing. Srinvatam swak Kata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. These glories of the Lord are Punya. The same word is used, virtuous. And if one becomes attracted to hearing and chanting the names and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Hridyantishtrohya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsatam. The Lord within the heart will gradually purify the heart. And if everybody does that, there can be peace, even in the age of Kali. So I'll stop there. Rabindranath Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So you mentioned how Krishna is the supreme proprietor and everybody should take the legitimate share. So what is that legitimate share? Like one person may have a few $1,000, another person may have a few $1 billion. So what's the actual amount that one person should have, or how does that work?
Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. You know, Krishna explains that if one is related to him in transcendental loving service, he will give whatever is required. But you know, Krishna also creates a social and economic system. Chaturvarnya Maya Shrustam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. So according to one's position in Varna and Ashram, one is entitled to certain things. And there's principles that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavatam that economic development should never be used for sense gratification, but just to keep body and soul together, to engage in Krishna consciousness, or that whatever one has in the way of wealth should be engaged in Krishna's service. So there's a whole system. You know, the brahmanas, they should live on charity. And whatever they get, they should use in Krishna's service. They shouldn't hoard wealth. The Kshatriyas, they're allowed to have taxes, collect taxes from the general public. But again, it's not that they should just collect taxes for squandering on all kinds of useless things. They should be using that tax money to benefit the public. And they can maintain themselves in a standard that's proper for a kshatriya in order to inspire people's respect and honor. But they have to be actually ruling according to proper Vedic principles. The Vaishyas are allowed to trade and keep a little profit, but they can also, you know, they can be taxed up to 25% by the kshatriyas. And then the sudras, artisans and laborers, according to the varnashram system, their proper share is they should be given means of life. They should be properly supported. They should have food. They should have shelter. They should be taken care of. And then there's also ashram that has to be considered. You know, the brahmacharis, they're not supposed to accumulate wealth. They're supposed to collect on behalf of the spiritual master and be taken care of by the spiritual master. The householders, they're allowed to accumulate wealth, but there are principles there that, you know, Srila Prabhupada often mentioned a certain percentage, you know, 50% should be given for spiritual purpose, 25% kept for emergencies, 25% for their personal, you know, there are principles there. Then vanaprast retires from all that, and sannyasis, they may accumulate wealth, but it's to be used 100% in Krishna's service. So there are many different principles that apply. You can't just say, look at a person and say, your share is this or that. You know, one has to take into account the person's karma, maybe from past pious activities. They're in a situation where they have a lot of wealth as a householder. But then you see, what do they do with it? Okay. Just briefly. Okay. It's 15 after. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna.